Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you for listening to the Qalam podcast. My name is Abdul Nasser Jangda, and I'm excited to announce a new learning opportunity from the comfort of your home. Here at Qalam, we strive to create opportunities for people all around the world from all walks of life to learn about Islam. One amazing program that is a part of this mission is the Seerah Intensive, an in-depth study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seerah Intensive is a one-of-a-kind immersive learning experience for the entire family. You receive access to great teachers, develop lifelong friendships with students of knowledge from all around the world, benefit from countless invaluable lessons, and at the end of the day, walk away with a newfound love for the best human being to ever walk this earth, bidnillahi ta'ala. This year, the Seerah Intensive will be offered exclusively online. All recordings and class materials will be provided for lifetime access for you to continue and revisit at your own pace. We will also be offering Seerah Intensive online for kids. For more information, please visit QalamIntensives.com. We hope to see you this winter to learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Qur'an, where we study the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we're continuing on with Surah al-Baqarah. And today, inshallah, we hope to be able to cover verses number 133 through 137. It's a lengthier portion than we do a lot of times. But nonetheless, inshallah, that is our goal. That's our objective, inshallah. Let's go ahead and get started as we always do. I'll begin with the recitation of the verses that, inshallah, we're going to be covering. After reciting those verses, I'll then read from a translation of the Quran speaking about those verses, and then inshallah we'll go further into a discussion about the tafsir, the meaning, the understanding, the wisdom, the reflections that we can take from those particular verses, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. So that was a recitation of the ayat 133 through 137. Now let's read from what is written here in translation. Were you there to see when death came upon Jacob? When he said to his sons, "What will you worship after I am gone?" They replied, "We shall worship your God and the God of your fathers, Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac, one single God. We devote ourselves to him." That community passed away. What they earned belongs to them, and what you earn belongs to you. You will not be answerable for their deeds. Verse 135, the translation is, they say, "Become Jews or Christians and you will be rightly guided." O Prophet, say to them, "No. Ours is the religion of Ibrahim, the upright, who did not worship any god besides Allah." Verse 136, so you believers say, "We believe in God and in what was sent down to us and what was sent down to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, and what was given to Moses, Jesus, and all the prophets by their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and we devote ourselves to him." Verse 137, so if they believe like you do, they will be rightly guided. But if they turn their backs, then they will be entrenched in opposition. God will protect you from them. He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. And that is the conclusion of verse number 137. So now let's go ahead and go into the discussion, the tafsir, and further explore the meaning and the message within these ayat. So this passage that we're going to be studying today, it is, in a sense, if we were to summarize it into one statement, it is a refutation of the claim by the Jews and the Christians that they are the ones truly upon the way of Ibrahim, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the religion and the way of other prophets of God like Ya'qub alayhi salam. So this is refuting that idea. Rather, it is clarifying that what exactly defines the religion of Ibrahim? What exactly was the way of Ya'qub alayhi salam and the other prophets of Allah, like Ismail and Musa and Isa alayhi salam? That it was the worship of one Allah, to not associate any partners with him, and to study and preserve and maintain the purity of the revelation, the scripture. And if somebody was to do that, it would lead them to the inevitable conclusion that the Quran is the word of Allah, the final revelation from Allah, and that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the final messenger and prophet of Allah. That they would arrive at that conclusion. So now let's take a look at this. Whenever we discuss the tafsir of the ayat, there's a couple of things that I like to start with. Number one is, if there is any kind of circumstances of revelation, did anything occur at the time of the Prophet ﷺ that these verses were revealed at that time, therefore clarifying what occurred at that moment in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, called Sababun Nuzul. Number two, I then like to talk about any kind of historical background that is needed in order to better understand what these verses are saying. And then thirdly, take a look at these verses. How do they fit in with the verses that came before them and how the conversation and the discussion and the topic, the subject matter is being developed into these verses that we're studying here today. So to start with the Sababun Nuzul, there actually are a couple of things that are mentioned here. It's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, when he arrived into the city of Medina and settled the Muslim community there, they had neighbors. They were surrounded, in and around Medina, there were Jewish tribes that resided there, namely three of them, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. Some of them approached the Prophet ﷺ after some time, and they said, أَلَسَّ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ يَعْقُوبُ يَوْمَ مَاتَ أَوْصَى بَنِيهِ بِالْيَهُودِيَّةِ. They said to the Prophet ﷺ, don't you know that Jacob, Ya'qub alayhi salam, who is the son of Ishaq, who is the son of Ibrahim, and Ya'qub, of course, is the father of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, and Ya'qub had 12 sons, and that led to the formation of the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. So he says that, don't you know, they said to the Prophet ﷺ, أَلَسْتَ تَعْلَمْ, don't you know, that the day that Ya'qub passed away, when Ya'qub, Jacob, was on his deathbed, he advised and emphasized to his sons to stay on the Jewish religion. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds with these ayat of saying, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَىٰ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبُ الْمَوْتِ. Were you there when Jacob was dying, when he was passing away, when he was leaving and departing from this world, Ya'qub alayhi salam, that when he was leaving and departing from this world, were you physically there? That you speak about it with such conviction and authority? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows all, who watches all, who sees all, who hears all, He tells you exactly what happened. And then Allah, in these verses that we read in the verses and the translation, and we're going to talk more about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what was actually Ya'qub's conversation with his children. Secondly, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, in another narration, he mentions that there was an individual by the name of Ibn Suriyah. We'd spoken about him earlier. He was one of the leaders of the Jewish community there in Medina. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one time, مَلْ هُدَىٰ إِلَّا مَا نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ. That guidance, the truth, is what we are practicing. That is the only guidance, the only truth. فَاتَّبِعْنَا يَا مُحَمَّدْ تَهْتَدِي. They said, so you should follow us, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then you will be upon guidance, you will find your way. The Christians similarly sent a message of a similar effect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses responding to them. There's another very fascinating narration that Ibn Sa'd mentions on the authority of Muhammad ibn Sirin from Abu Ubaidah ibn Hudayfa, and he says that Adi bin Hatim was the son of a very legendary person of the Arabian Peninsula named Hatim from the tribe of At-Tai. And that's why he was called Hatim At-Tai. He was a very generous person. He was a philanthropist. He was a very generous person. And he was so generous in helping people that he became the standard of philanthropy and generosity in the Arabian Peninsula. So when they would want to describe, like if they want to, you know, if people try to describe how tall someone is, then they would say, you know, he's as tall as, you know, and they'll name somebody very, very tall. Like they'll say he's as tall as Hakim Olajuwon, right? Who's nearly 7 feet tall. So just like when there becomes someone who is of a very high rank, somebody recites Quran very beautifully, and they'll say he's like Abdul Basit, Qari Abdul Basit, Rahimullah. So sometimes some people become a standard, a bar for something, the benchmark, as they say. So similarly, this individual, Hatim At-Ta'i, he became the benchmark, the standard for generosity. His son, it's actually a very fascinating story where his daughter was amongst those who were, you know, captured and taken captive when the Muslims had a confrontation with some of the tribes. And Adi, the son of Hatim, the brother, he basically had fled. And his sister, the daughter of Hatim al-Ta'i, she spoke to the Prophet ﷺ 3 days in a row. She would address the Prophet ﷺ and she would say that halak al-walidu wa ghab al-wafidu. She would say that my father is dead and my brother has fled. And she says that, you know, I am someone of status, and if you show me generosity, you will definitely, you will be met with graciousness if you show me generosity and graciousness. And she said this to the Prophet ﷺ a number of days. The Prophet ﷺ ultimately ended up releasing her. When Hatim heard of this kindness that the Prophet ﷺ had showed his sister, he had passed away, Adi, the son, her brother, Adi bin Hatim, when he heard of the generosity, this kindness the Prophet ﷺ had shown to his sister, he came to Medina to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ was very hospitable, as he always is. And in the Prophet ﷺ had a very, very beautiful conversation with him. And the result and the outcome of that conversation was that Adi bin Hatim, the son of that famous man, the brother of that woman whom the Prophet ﷺ had released, he ended up accepting Islam. But in the course of the conversation he had with the Prophet ﷺ, there's something very interesting that Ibn Sa'd here narrates. He says that, فَقَالَ لِي النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يَا عَدِي أَسْلِمْ تَسْلَمْ. Adi, narrating the incident in his own conversation with the Prophet ﷺ, he says that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, O Adi, accept Islam, submit to Allah, accept Islam, and you shall be safe and sound. فَقَالَ إِنِّي مِنْ دِينِ. So he initially said to the Prophet ﷺ, but I already have a religion. I am on the religion. And the Prophet ﷺ said something very powerful to him. He said, أَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِدِينِكَ مِنْكَ. He said, listen, young man, I know your religion better than you do. Meaning, I know exactly what you think you believe, but in reality, how it's distorted and what you should believe. So it's a very beautiful, powerful conversation. And once again, these verses are quoted there by the Prophet ﷺ at that moment to give Adi perspective on the true religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that is, these are some of the circumstances from the life of the Prophet ﷺ as a consequence of which the verses were revealed. Secondly, the backstory. So the backstory is essentially talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. He had his sons Ishaq and Ismail. Ishaq alayhi salam had a son by the name of Yaqub. And Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons. One of them is, of course, the Prophet of God, Yusuf alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam had a nickname. Had a second name. His second name was Israel. And that's why the 12 tribes of Bani Israel, 12 tribes became known as the tribes of Bani Israel, the children of Israel. Israel referring to Yaqub, because they are all the progeny of Jacob, the prophet Yaqub. So Yaqub alayhi salam, in that sense, is the forefather. He is the ancestor, all right, that all these tribes link back at. And then, of course, go back all the way back to Ibrahim alayhi salam, but they link initially back at the Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. That's why they're called Bani Israel. So now that these are the 12 Jewish tribes, right, Yaqub alayhi salam, as a prophet of Allah, is a very central pillar and figure for them. So they attribute their Jewish religion back to the Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what makes it so powerful, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying here of what was the religion of Yaqub. What did he believe? What was revealed to him? What did he practice? What did he preach? What did he propagate? And not only that, but when he was on his deathbed, what did he advise and counsel to his children to carry on after him? So that's some of the historical background that we're going to be reading about. And then how this fits into the greater context, of course, is in the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Millata. وَمَن يَرْغَبُ عَن مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, that the religion of Ibrahim and the continuation of the legacy of Ibrahim. So Yaqub alayhi salam being the grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the claim being made by the other religions at that time, the Jews and the Christians, of being the ones who are actually on the legacy of Ibrahim. That's what they're trying to claim, that it's very important here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discredits their claim, refutes their claim, and establishes the proper understanding. Wallahu ta'ala alim bisawab. So with that, let's take a look at the ayat. And what we'll do now is I will go through the actual ayat to make sure that we clarify each word and understand what each part of the verses means and refers to, the five verses. And then we'll conclude, of course, by talking about some takeaway lessons and reflections and understandings that we get from here. So Allah says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَىٰ, that were you witnesses. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَىٰ, there's a question here. It's a rhetorical question because, of course, you were not. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, were you witnesses? Were you physically present? That's what being a witness here refers to. Shahida means to physically witness something. So were you physically present? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the people who claim wrongly to be on the true legacy of Yaqub and Ishaq and, you know, Ibrahim alayhim salam. إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ, when death came to Jacob, when his time for leaving the world arrived, were you there? إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ, when he said to his children, when he said to his sons, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ, what will you worship after I am gone, after me? What will you worship after me? And again, the verbiage here is discussed at length by the Mufassirin, the scholars of Tafsir, that it says, what will you worship? Not whom will you worship, but what? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, what will you worship? Well, because by using the word what, it broadens the scope. Not necessarily who, but what. Meaning everything that is in existence, every incorrect thing that anyone has ever worshipped, out of all of the types of worship, the types of belief that people have had, what is the correct one? He's asking them. And that's where they clarify. Na'budu, they said, all together, in unison, they responded correctly, properly, by saying, Na'budu ilahaka. We will worship your Lord, your Master. This is, of course, referring to Allah. But why do they specifically say, your Lord and your Master? Well, to give solace to the Father, that don't worry, Father, we remember what you have taught us. We remember the way you have given to us. We have not forgotten the lessons from the revelation that you imparted to us. So we will continue to practice the religion the way that you taught it to us. We understand what you taught us, and we will continue to practice it accordingly. All right? Secondly, their father is not just any ordinary person. He's a prophet of God. So, of course, that's very meaningful. Wa ilaha abaika, who is also, and this is what's called the Ataf Bayan, it's clarifying, it's detailing, who is your Lord, O Father? Allow us to demonstrate, to explain how well we have understood what you have taught us. That your Lord, your Master, your God, is also the Lord, the Master, the God, the one who was worshipped by your forefathers. And then they clarify, in forefathers they mean Ibrahim, your grandfather, Ismail, your uncle, wa Ishaq, and your father. Now there's a very interesting little point and nuance here, that the word Abba, which is the plural of the word Ab, which means father, is used. And then in that, that is used to reference the father, the grandfather, and even the uncle. And there's That is something that is accommodated within the Arabic language, because there's an authentic narration in Bukhari and Muslim where the Prophet ﷺ says, "Amr rajuli sinu akhihi," that the uncle of a person, the paternal uncle of a person, is basically adjacent to the father. Obviously, being his brother, he's adjacent, but also meaning that, you know, he also commands respect, and he also provides care and consideration and counsel and guidance the way that a father does. Not only that, but Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions on the authority of an-Nahhas, one of the scholars of the Arabic language, وَالْعَرَبُ تُسَمِّي الْعَمَّ أَبًا. All right, that the Arab would often refer to even the uncle as a father as well. So there is actually, this is something very insightful, and there's an issue that is derived from here that I'll touch on later on towards the end of the session when we talk about some of the takeaways and reflections and some of the discussions that come out from these verses. So they say that we will continue to worship the God that you worshipped, Father, and we will also worship the God that was worshipped by your forefathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq. Ilahan wahidan. And then they clarify, once again, giving confidence and comfort to the Father that they know their lesson, they know, they understand their religion. Ilahan wahidan, that there's only one who is worthy of worship. We do not associate partners with him. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And we are completely submitted to him, to Allah. That one God, we are completely submitted to him. And this is very interesting, because what we learn from this, that the very core definition of the way, the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is first and foremost Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and number two is absolute submission. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلِمْتُ We had read this verse and studied this verse already previously. At that point in time, Ya'qub can be saying the following words to his sons, but at the same time, this is also now being communicated in real time to the Christians and the Jews there at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, who are basically leaning on their affiliation, their association with Ya'qub and Ishaq and Ibrahim. What is said to them? Tilka ummatun qad khalat. That is a nation, that is a group of people who has already passed. Laha ma kasabat. For them is what they have earned, what they have done. Their deeds are with them. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ And for you is what you have done. You will have the reward or the outcome or the consequences of your deeds. So this is now imparting a very fundamental idea that's ancient history. It's important to know where you come from. But at some point you have to acknowledge and recognize the fact that is history. That is past. Those people are gone, that time is gone, those days are gone. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ They have what they earned, what they did. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ And now with you are your deeds. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ And you shall not be questioned عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ About what they did. And that's again establishing a very fundamental idea that each person will answer for their own deeds. No one answers for anyone else. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this extensively in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, ayah number 164, وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا Anything that a soul does, it only affects and impacts and implicates itself. Allah says in the same verse, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى No soul will be burdened with the baggage or the consequences of someone else's deeds. Each soul will have to answer for themselves and will not carry the baggage of anyone else. In Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, Ayah number 54, Allah says, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا If they turn away, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ, then upon him is what he did, and upon you is what y'all did. Each person will answer for their own deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 23, Ayah number 101, Allah says, فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَأَلُونَ, that there will be no relationships between people on the Day of Judgment, meaning no one will get to lean on one another, وَلَا يَتَسَأَلُونَ, nor will they really actually even be concerned about one another. Everyone will only be concerned about themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah number 4, Ayah number 123 says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجَزَ بِهِ, whoever does evil will have to answer for it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam very powerfully, in numerous narrations, he also talks about this, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in one narration, a companion by the name of Abu Ramtha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this man, Abu Ramtha, and with him was his son. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ahuwa ibnuk? Is that your son? He said, Na'am, yes, that's my son. The Prophet ﷺ said, Aba innahu la yajni alayka wa la tajni alayhi. He does not sin on your behalf and you will not sin on his behalf. He will not carry the burden of your sins and you will not carry the burden of his sins. Another very powerful narration, the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he says, Ya Bani Hashim, he said to his family members, O Banu Hashim, O family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, La ya'tini an-nasu bi-a'malihim wa ta'tuni bi-ansabikum. He said, please do not let it be the situation on the Day of Judgment that people will come with their good deeds and you show up simply claiming affiliation to me. Do not do that. Why? لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا. Because I will not be able to help you in front of God. If you have not done good, if you have not tried to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's not much that I'm going to be able to do for you. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. That somebody who lags behind because of their deeds, their lineage and their affiliations, will not be able to save them and salvage them. It's a very powerful idea here imparted in this verse that basically says that those people have passed, their good is with them, you will be rewarded for the good that you do, and you will not be questioned about what they did. In the next ayah, ayah number 135, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا, they say, كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تَهْتَدُوا. They say, become Jewish or become Christian and you all will be rightly guided. If you do that, all of you will be on the correct path. Okay, that is their claim and that is what they are saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by telling the Prophet ﷺ to say, قُلْ, O Muhammad, O Prophet of God, say, بَلْ, rather, مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Rather, why don't all y'all actually follow the religion and the way of Ibrahim? مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Instead of telling me to follow your distorted, twisted religion that you've created based off of your own agenda, why don't you actually follow the true way of Ibrahim? And what is the true way of Ibrahim? Hanifan. And this word Hanif is very interesting. It means to kind of cut off from the sides, to not go right or not go left, to remain straight and remain in the middle. It also has the meaning of consistency built in. It also emphasizes the meaning of the middle or focus, right? And there's many different things that can allude to. The majority of the scholars say that it alludes to the oneness of Allah. monotheism. And that's why even the people before the Prophet ﷺ was sent, the few individuals, the sparse individuals who continued to remain committed to the idea of monotheism, they are often referred to as the Hunafa. The Hunafa, those who remain focused on one God. So it says Ibrahim was Hanif. He was a monotheist. He was committed, dedicated, unwavering on the idea of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ He never ever associated any partners with Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muslims, all of us, to say the following, قُولُوا All of you say to the people of the other religions, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ We believed in Allah. We believed in Allah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا And what was sent to us, meaning the Qur'an, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Qur'an. We believed in that. We hold firmly to that. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ Okay? And we also believe in what was sent to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Ya'qub, and Al-Asbat. Asbat refers to the progeny, Bani Israel. All the people and all the prophets that came after the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam from his progeny. So now it says that we believe in Allah, we believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe in the Quran, and then we believe in what was sent to all these prophets. Now somebody could say, well, what about, that's what they were saying, right? Well, there's two things that need to be understood here, or rather three things, excuse me. There's three points that are very important to understand here. Number one, when it says that we believe in what was sent to them, it's because the foundation, the usul, the qawa'id, the principles, the foundations, the fundamental beliefs of all the prophets are similar, are the same, are in line, are unified. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Qur'an very explicitly and very powerfully, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in surah number 42, ayah number 13, شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ That Allah has given you the fundamentals of the religion, مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا That were given to the Prophet Noah. وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ And again, the fundamentals, the beliefs that we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ Are the same ones that we gave to Abraham. وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى And to Moses and Jesus. And what is that? أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ That established a religion of God. Worship only Allah. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ And do not become divided amongst yourselves within the religion. So this idea of the cohesiveness of the foundations of the religion, the fundamentals are the same. Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, Ayah number 25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ Every single prophet that was sent before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, illa nuhi ilayhi annahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budun. We inspired to that prophet that there's no one worthy of worship except for Allah, so worship only him. Allah says it in the first person that there is no one worthy of worship except for me, so worship only me, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many verses that talk about the same idea and present the same understanding to us. There's also the hadith in Sahih Bukhari where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Nahnu ma'asharul anbiya." We are the fraternity of prophets. Auladu allatin. We have different mothers. We have different mothers, but we all have the same father, meaning Adam alayhi salam. And or in a way to say that we all claim to be following and implementing the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa auladu allatin, right? We are brothers, all of us, through the father, but we have different mothers. And it's an expression meaning, dinuna wahid. Dinuna wahid. That the essence of the religion that we all preach and practice is one, unified and the same. All right? So that is what's being emphasized here very powerfully and very beautifully. All right? So I was talking about the fact that when it says we believe in what was sent to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, and Yaqub, what does that mean? So number one, it means that the fundamentals are all the same. Okay? The oneness of God, accepting the prophets and messengers, believing in the life of the hereafter, submitting to Allah, doing good and righteousness. Okay? There's other things as well that the Quran mentions, honoring of one's parents, the sanctity of life, not stealing, not lying, not cheating, etc., etc. Okay? Fornication and adultery, being evil, etc. The second thing is this, that we believe in what was sent to them, actually sent to them. But what was distorted over time, of course, we do not accept those distortions, but rather we firmly believe in what was actually sent to them, the original. Number three, the third point here is that when it comes to specific details, what we a lot of times in our terminology call fiqh or sharia, right? The actual code of law, the details of the law. Those things are updated every single time a prophet or a messenger comes. So there might have been specific details in the daily code, in the code of law that those prophets had, but when the Prophet Muhammad is sent, when the Quran is revealed, then that supersedes it, and that becomes the current code that we follow. All right? Basically, it's the idea of naskhu shara'i' or shara'u man qablana, etc., etc. There's lots of discussions in Islamic legal theory and usul al-fiqh that stem from this. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى. And what was inspired to, what was given to Moses and Jesus. Again, same thing. The fundamentals are all the same across the board, number one. Number two, that we believe in what was actually given to them, not what was distorted over time. And number three, that as far as details are concerned, then of course, the details we follow as given to us in the Quran and as explained to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And what all the prophets were given by their Lord, we accept all of that. We believe in all of that. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We do not differentiate, we do not discriminate against any single one of the prophets. And again, what that refers to, we've already spoken about, I've already detailed it, that we recognize the prophethood of all the prophets and the messengers of Allah. We recognize the prophethood of all the prophets and messengers of God. We do not discount, we do not discredit, we do not discriminate against any of the prophets and messengers of God. We respect them all, we revere them all, we recognize them all. Unlike what some of the folks of other religions did. The Jews did not accept Isa alayhi salam. The Christians did not recognize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. So it's saying that we're not going to fall into all of that. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last and the final and the finality of all prophets, as explicitly mentioned in the Quran and by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we respect and recognize the prophethood, the messengership of all the anbiya and rusul before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And once again, it re-emphasizes that we are all submitted to Allah. We all submit solely and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in verse number 137, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. That if they believe in what y'all have believed, if they believe. Now, there's a few different interpretations of this, that if they believe similar to what y'all believe, meaning if they were willing to believe in the original, true, actual teachings of their prophets, then they would have automatically come to the conclusion, they would have automatically come to the conclusion of the truth of the Quran and the truth of the messengership and the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But many of the Mufassirun, I feel it's more clear this way, have translated this verse as, if they believe in what you believe, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, then they have found guidance. Then they are upon guidance. Then they are rightly guided. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, but if they reject, if they turn away, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, then they are doomed, they are in. And the word fi means to be completely immersed in something. Then they will drown in conflict. فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. The word shiqaq literally means to split apart. That if they deviate from the path, once you deviate from the path, once you get off the road, then you don't know where to go. You understand? Like, think of it visually. The Quran is very powerful. The language of the Quran is very powerful visually like this. Think of the idea of off-roading. When you're driving on the road, clear lane. But if you go off the road into the dirt, then everybody kind of drives like differently. Because there is no road to follow. There's no path to follow. There's no lanes. You have no idea what you're doing. So everyone kind of goes their own way. If you're coloring and you're coloring inside the line, you know where to color. But if you take a blank piece of paper and you just give somebody some colors, everyone's going to come up with something different. So the idea here is that while, you know, somebody who might be more into creative disciplines, or somebody who might be into art, says, okay, well, that sounds great. But when it comes to beliefs, when it comes to what you believe in, then that is a very serious and structured thing. You know, I don't give a doctor a scalpel and said, here you go, have at it, right? You don't hire somebody to build your house and just say, you know what, blank canvas, go for it. No, you have a drawing, you have architecture. Right, and you pour over it and labor over it and obsess over it for months and months and months. And then you're observing to make sure that the builder is following the plans down to the dot. Why? Because there are things where structure is very important. It's critical, necessary. So these are your beliefs, right? But once they turn away, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, then they will just fracture. And then it becomes that off-roading example. Everyone's just driving around in the dirt in circles, and it's chaos. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَسَيَكْفِيكَ هُمُ اللَّهُ, that very soon, soon enough, don't worry, soon enough, Allah will be sufficient for you against them. Meaning, even as I'm translating and explaining these verses, it inevitably will occur to someone that this sounds, you know, not confrontational or violent or aggressive, but it does sound very straightforward. You are in a very straightforward way saying that, you know, I think that you are incorrect in your beliefs. So, is there any kind of, you know, intimidation or fear, or any kind of, you know, concern for any kind of repercussions to this? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ, that Allah will suffice you against them, meaning Allah will take care of you against them. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says other places in the Quran to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Just a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah number 5, ayah number 67, Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. That worry not, because Allah will protect you from the people. The whole ayah, ya ayyuhar rasulu balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, O Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, deliver what was sent to you, what was revealed to you, what was inspired to you from your Lord. Wa illam taf'al fama balaghta risalata. If you don't do everything within your capacity to deliver that message, then you have not fulfilled your job and your task. Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. And Allah will protect you against the people, so don't worry about them. So this is فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And then the conclusion of the verse is, He, Allah, is the one who hears all, knows all. He hears you preaching to them. He hears what they say in response to you. He knows that you are speaking the truth. He knows that they understand and realize the truth of what you're saying. And in spite of that, they still deny it and refuse it and refuse to accept the truth of it. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He hears all, he knows all, and have faith and confidence in that fact. So this is the breakdown of the verses, and hopefully that makes sense to everyone. Now, a couple of points that I wanted to touch on. First and foremost, I've already said this in the previous couple of sessions, but I will reiterate it here again, and it has been mentioned by all the Mufassirun again and again, that once again we see Yaqub alayhi salam, a father sitting with his sons and concerned about the future, the spirituality, the religion, the belief, the iman of his children. And that teaches us those two very important lessons. Number one, caring about your family, your loved ones, your children, is not in any way in contradiction with the deen or the religion. It is actually one of the very important and beautiful teachings of our religion, that we are supposed to care about the people around us. And the second point, the second lesson is that everybody is usually concerned about their family and their children, but do we care about what their relationship with Allah? Do we care about the state of their faith, their belief, their iman? That needs to be our primary concern and our most important consideration. Secondly, there's a little nuance here that I had shared when I was explaining the language that, you know, the forefathers of Ibrahim of Yaqub alayhi salam, his father, his uncle, his grandfather are all being referred to as fathers. And this shows you kind of the nuances that come from the Quran. This fact that Yaqub refers to even his grandfather Ibrahim as his father, kind of figuratively speaking, but still refers to him as his father, is actually a part, one of the things that is quoted in a very famous difference of opinion amongst the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and the major jurists, the fuqaha of Islam. So some of the companions, such as Ibn Abbas, Ibn Zubayr, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and others, were of the opinion Uthman, Ali, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, many of them. And amongst the jurists, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad were of the opinion that if a man dies, if a person dies, their parents inherit from them, if they're alive. And if the person has no children, has no parents, then the siblings inherit from that person. But in this scenario, where the father of the person is deceased, then the siblings can come into the picture and they can inherit. But the question is, what if somebody dies and their father is deceased, but the grandfather is still alive? Does the grandfather supersede the siblings and cut them out of the inheritance because he is a father? Or does he share the inheritance with the siblings? So this group of scholars and companions of the Prophet ﷺ were of the opinion that the grandfather will not override them, will not supersede them, he will share the inheritance with the siblings. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, amongst the scholars and amongst the companions, people of the caliber of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and others, were of the opinion that no, the grandfather, because Allah here in the Quran tells us that Yaqub, when speaking about his grandfather Ibrahim, calls him a father. So he will also supersede the siblings, and the siblings will not inherit if the grandfather, paternal grandfather, is alive. It's a very detailed issue of the fiqh of inheritance, but nonetheless, it's very interesting. It's very interesting that just from such a small little nuance in the language of a verse, such a remarkable discussion of Islamic law can be derived from the usage of one word in one verse of the Quran. Subhanallah. Another point that we take from here, from the verses that we read today and that we studied today, that I wanted to talk about, is that we particularly studied the... We talked about this verse, قُلُوا أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, which was verse number 136. Verse number 136 of surah number 2. That was one of the verses we studied here today. And something very fascinating, very remarkable, is that there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim in which Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر ما يصلي الركعتين اللتين قبل الفجر, that the two rak'ahs the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would pray before the Fajr prayer, the two sunnahs of Fajr, which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed every day. He never left these two rak'ahs of sunnah before Fajr. And he said, pray them even if you're afraid that you'll be trampled by horses, as a euphemism to say, prioritize these two. That a lot of times when the Prophet ﷺ would pray those two rak'ahs, he would recite the following verses. In the first rak'ah, he would recite this verse, 136, from Surah Al-Baqarah, قُلُوا أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا. And in the second verse, he would recite Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 52, أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَشَهَدَ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. So these were the two verses, surah number 2, ayah number 136 in the first raka'ah, and in the second raka'ah he would recite surah number 3, ayah number 52. Something else that's very powerful is that Ibn Abi Hatim, he mentions this narration, that Ziyad ibn Yunus, he says that Nafi' Ibn Abi Nu'aym, who was one of the Tabi'un, he says, أَرْسَلَ إِلَيَّ بَعْضُ الْخُلَفَاءِ مَصْحَفَ عُثْمَانَ مِنْ عَفَّانَ لِيُصْلِحَهُ. He says that one of the rulers had sent me the manuscript of the Qur'an, the copy of the Qur'an that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, the Khalifa, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, Uthman radiallahu anhu, his own personal Qur'an, his manuscript of the Qur'an, the copy of the Qur'an that he would read from, that they sent it to me to repair it, because it had become a little bit old and aged. So, you know, the binding and things like that was kind of coming apart. So they sent it to me to rebind it and kind of repair it and fix the cover of it, you know, refurbish it, rehabilitated it. And he said, when I looked at it, and he says that, إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ فَقَالَ Ziyad, you know, Nafi', who says, I was sent the copy of the Qur'an that belonged to Uthman to repair it. He's telling this to Ziyad. So Ziyad says to him, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? He says, sure. He says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ مُصْحَفَهُ كَانَ فِي حِجْرِهِ حِينَ قُتِلَ. He says, I've heard that he had that copy of the Quran in his lap, right? Kind of like he was reading from it. So he had his copy of the Quran in his lap and he was reading from it when he was attacked and assassinated and killed. And he says, فَوَقَعَ الدَّمْ عَلَىٰ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And they said that when they assassinated him, when they attacked him, some of his blood fell on the Quran and it was open to the verse and the blood fell on the verse, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That God will take care of them for you. And he is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. So he asks him, Ziyad, asks Nafi', the one who repaired the Qur'an that belonged to Uthman radiallahu anhu, is that true? فَقَالَ Nafi' said, بَصُرَتْ عَيْنِي بِالدَّمْ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. He said, with my own eyes, I saw the stain of blood on the verse that you are describing. SubhanAllah. That he was murdered. He was assassinated. Unjustly, of course. Wrongfully, of course. And it's so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that it fell on that verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that those who are wronged, those who are whose rights have been violated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avenge them. We also, in today's portion, we talked about, I commented on it earlier, the importance of focusing on one's family's spiritual well-being. I wanted to also mention, in Surah number 66, verse number 6, Allah says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your family from the fire of hell. In Surah number 26, ayah number 214, Allah says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. That save your warn your closest of your tribe's people. In Surah number 20, Surah Taha, ayah number 132, Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. That tell your family to pray and you yourself be very firm and committed to the prayer yourself. And we talked about also the understanding that we accept and respect all the prophets. That does not mean that we don't recognize that certain prophets were granted certain distinctions. Musa alayhi salam, Allah spoke to him, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam is the, you know, forefather and the ancestor of all the prophets. Isa alayhi salam was created as a miracle. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the finality and the leader of all the prophets. Doesn't take away from the fact that some of them had distinctions, but it means we don't discriminate against any one of them by rejecting them. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Because that's something that we do not do. And in the last verse that we read, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. That if they believe in what y'all believe in. That's generally saying it to the Muslims, but it is more specifically at the time of the revelation addressing the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vouches for them and says that they are the standard. Muhammadur Rasulullah wa alladhina ma'ahu. That they are role models for us, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah, Allah, فِي أَصْحَابِي لَا تَتَّخِذُوهُ مِنْ بَعْدِي غَرَضًا مِنْ بَعْدِي. That, O Allah, my companions, take care of them and do not allow anyone to target them after me. And so the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are to be looked up to and to be looked at. And they are, once again, that benchmark I was talking about. They are the standard and the benchmark of what it means to be a believer. And what it means to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The last thing that I will also, that I will comment on here is that there always tends to be a lot of confusion. This is a serious discussion of theology. But there a lot of times tends to be confusion about, you know, believing amongst Muslims in terms of a lot of times what is referred to as perennialism, right? Believing that, you know, Islam is not the only, what the Quran gives us, what the Prophet ﷺ taught is not the only way to salvation. But this verse so clearly and explicitly says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe in what you believe in, then they are guided. But if they do not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and the finality of prophets and messengers, if they do not believe in the revelation of the Quran as a word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is not guidance. It's very important for us to remember that. So with that, inshaAllah, we'll conclude today's session and today's lesson. And then inshaAllah, we'll continue on from verse number 138. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding of the Quran. May Allah give us the ability to live and practice the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that has been said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Real quickly, there are one thing I wanted to mention is that, as I mentioned previously as well, in the previous tafsir class, that alhamdulillah, we have the Seerah intensive that is coming up. We'll be doing it online this time, so that's an opportunity for everyone everywhere to be able to benefit, inshallah. Secondly, we got a lot of feedback from people based off of when they're off from school or when they're going to have maybe be off from work or have a lighter load at work. And so we adjusted the dates of the Seerah intensive to fit in directly with a lot of the time that people are already going to have off from school and work, inshallah binillah. So I wanted to bring your attention to that, call your attention to that. I'm sharing the link here in the comments, inshallah. So please take a look at it. Once again, sign up. There's a program for adults. There's a program for the kids as well. Share it with your family and friends and with your networks, inshallah. And it'll be very beneficial for everyone, inshallah. It's going to be from December the 24th to January the 2nd. So inshallah, it's a good use of that time that a lot of people are going to be off from school and work. So we hope that inshallah you're able to be with us. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.